Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Two Real Podcast. My name is Mike.
And this is Jillian Rosato. Welcome to our home.
That's right.
This is our new studio space, which we were trying to make it easier for us to record at our leisure rather than hoping the office space would be open or taking up office space from our other employees. And we are learning that our most difficult employee is going to make this even harder at home. You will casually see her walk in and out of the frame. Her name is Delaney Rosato. She is an 8-pound Yorkie, and she runs this house.
She thinks she runs the house.
She's wearing her Valentine's Day gear. I don't know if you can see her. She's probably rubbing her body against the chair. But we're doing it anyway.
That's right.
Because this is too real, and this is what happens in our house.
That's right.
But we are back, and we are in a new space and ready for another episode.
That's right. You said that this kind of looks like a dentist's office.
Yeah, I feel like it looks like a dentist's office. No?
No.
See,
like a counseling office maybe, or...
And you may be looking at this and being like, what? Like, where do you live? So we have a 3-story townhouse, and the third floor used to be this... do you see what I'm talking about already? She's irritating and interrupting us.
It's going to transition us really well for the topic of today.
Yeah. But so we used to have this sectional couch up in this corner here, and we thought with 2 teenage boys that they would all hang out up here.
Yeah.
But they don't. They hang out in the rooms. They hang out downstairs in the living room. They take over the whole house except for this space. So we were like, you know what? Let's move the podcasting space up here. We sold our couch. This is also like our workout space. So across from us, there's like a treadmill and stuff like that. But we're trying to utilize this space best, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Hopefully Miss Thing just is relaxing for a little bit now.
She's
just not pay attention to her. Nobody move.
Nobody move.
But speaking of irritations, in talking about what we wanted to talk about this week, a lot of times we base our podcasts off of what's going on in our life. And I guess I was just getting on Mike's nerves
that
day.
That's not true. That's not true. When I thought about this concept, I think it's something that like married couples don't, they talk about jokingly, but they don't talk about seriously. Like when you do get to the place where you annoy each other, right?
Yeah.
So like some people look at us and, you know, we get compliments like, you guys are such a great couple. You work so well together, because we're with each other a lot more than not.
Yeah.
Right? But we like, let's call it what it is. Let's be real. We annoy each other.
I would say you get on my nerves like 23 out of 24 hours a day.
Is that accurate? Is that inaccurate?
I'm joking.
Yeah.
Annoyance number one of mine for Mike is I exaggerate.
Oh my gosh.
We're just jumping right in.
Yes.
But no, we like, and here's the thing, like people, like you said, they're like, oh, you guys get along so well. We get on each other's nerves. We fight. We fight. Can you believe it? Are you good?
Yeah.
You're getting distracted right now. The whole new setup is distracting.
I'm just making sure.
But yeah, we do fight. And I think the difference is for me, I have been friends with people in the past that they would like bash their husband every chance they got. And it got annoying after a while. But two, I was like, dang, like, I hope my husband doesn't talk about me like that to his friends. Mm. And like, I'll occasionally say to my best friend, like, yeah, Mike was doing this today. I got on my nerves. But like, I'm not bashing him. I'd rather talk to you rather than to someone else about you, because then nothing ever gets solved.
Right.
So we're not talking about like huge full on fights. Also, I don't know if you've noticed on YouTube, my wardrobe style is completely different in this space. This is a work from home day.
Relaxed, yeah.
So you're getting the slippers and the leggings and all the things.
Do you, Lou?
But okay, so tangents also annoy Mike about me. But so we are going to talk about 6 reasons why we get annoyed in relationships.
Yeah, and then we'll add in our commentary on how to kind of bypass them, how to be less annoying.
Yeah.
But let's throw out the big disclaimer. Is even solid, in love couples, you get annoyed with each other.
Well, it's just like your kids. You love your kids, but they get on my damn nerves sometimes.
They get on your nerves, right? So yeah, we're going to talk about those.
All right.
So the first psychological reason is that people get on each other's nerves is?
The first psychological reason why people get on my nerves is that they tell me to read the points, but then they take over the points. We're going to like totally fight after
we
this
are.
Episode.
We are.
So the first reason that people get annoyed in relationships is expectations.
Right.
So we butt heads on this a lot. We'll have an expectation of our day. Each of us will have an expectation of our day, but we don't communicate it. And then it ends up being like this. We're both frustrated because the other person didn't do what we expected the day to look like, but we didn't tell them that either.
Yeah.
So it's like kind of unfair. So I guess this one, expectations, like you want to communicate your expectations because you can't expect someone to know them if you're not telling them. Like yeah. you're just because you're married doesn't mean that you're their mind reader.
Right.
So that's something that we battle on a lot. Do you want to give like an example?
Yeah, give an example.
I'm asking you, do you
here's an example where, in my head, I had a plan just a couple days ago. I had a plan, to accomplish a number of things. And you nonchalantly said, I'm going to take Hunter, our youngest, to go buy a suit. So in my head, I'm like, bet you go, you're going to take him to go buy the suit. And then I'm going to accomplish X, Y, Z.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was you had an expectation that I was going to come with you.
Yes.
To help him buy the suit.
Yes.
And so that we didn't argue
no.
on it, but, that could have been a moment where like I could have annoyed you, you could have annoyed me. Because we weren't very clear with our expectations.
We didn't argue about it, but here's the thing, and I think this is what couples run into. It reared its head the next day because you had gotten irritated.
Right.
No, I'm sorry, later that day. You had gotten irritated with me about something, and then it was, listen, I wasn't even expecting to go with you for the suit. I was expecting to do this, but I just went along with what you wanted, da, da, da. So whether it didn't turn into a fight, but it showed itself in a different way,
right.
which led to irritation. So it would have been easier if in the beginning of the day, and we do this a lot. I think this was just a day that we didn't, but because our schedules are so busy in the beginning of the week or whatever, we'll look at each other and we'll be like, okay, let's look at the calendar. What do we got? Okay. Are you taking Hunter or am I taking, like, we'll communicate those things. But in the moments we don't, that's when the expectations that we each have start to butt heads a little bit.
Right, right. All of the annoyances you have that are based on expectations are usually based on unmet expectations, unvoiced expectations.
You need a third.
And an unreasonable expectation, right? So yes. There's sometimes in your head you have an unreasonable
yes.
expectation. And then when you allow that to compound, like we just said, like maybe things could be a lot less annoying if I wasn't pre-annoyed with
yes.
an unmet, unvoiced, unreasonable expectation.
Well, because this is what happened. You wanted to set up the studio space. And I was like, no, we have all weekend. Because you didn't realize that you had nothing on your calendar for Saturday. But then you came with me. We ended up getting dinner, this, that, and the other. We came home and you were going to do something else. And I came up here and I started putting the chairs together. And then you came up and you got mad that I was putting the chairs together. And you're like, this is what I wanted to do earlier, but you made me come suit shopping with you.
Yeah.
And I was like, first of all, it's not that big of a deal, bro. But I recognize that I did not communicate that to you well. And yeah. I'm sorry.
You heard that, folks.
But it
you
was not it was not as big of a deal as you were making it out
wasn't,
to be
but
either.
That's how things
yes,
become
they
irritants
build.
In a relationship when you're not clear with your expectations.
So like on a scale of 1 to 10, how high of an irritant is Delaney in our relationship?
A huge one.
Huge you got to watch the YouTube version of this because she's just casually in and out. Just big yawn, stealing the show.
Yeah.
All right. So number two, what is conditioning? Reasons we get annoyed. Conditioning. So over time, we develop patterns of behavior.
Yes.
Go ahead on this one.
So I think on top of expectations, we have this conditioning. So you have a routine in the morning.
Yes.
Right. So you're conditioned. You condition yourself. You condition the people around you to that. This is your routine. This is what you do on a day-to-day basis. It can be annoying if someone hijacks
yes.
your conditioning, right?
Yes.
Same thing with me. It hijacks. So a big one that I used to get annoyed when you ask me a lot of questions, right?
Because I'm such, it's so annoying. It's the worst thing someone can do.
But because life has conditioned me because growing up, we didn't process our feelings
yeah.
outwardly. We didn't You know, no shade on the Hispanic culture, but like you don't go to counseling, you don't go to therapy, you don't, you know what I mean? Growing up, that was just something that you just didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to internally process our emotions. So life conditioned me to think inwardly, be an internal processor. So that's how life conditioned me. So it would be annoying to me when you're asking me questions, but meanwhile, you're an external processor.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, you just genuinely, authentically care.
Yeah.
But instead of me interpreting that as care, sometimes I interpret that as annoying because that's how life has conditioned me.
So like, since we're kind of in a doctor's office right now, like let's unpack that a little bit.
Jesus help me.
Because I feel like you're noticing as the words are coming out of your mouth, it's a little ridiculous.
It's not, I mean, no, I wouldn't categorize it as ridiculous.
Because you actually care, and I realize you actually care. I'm dying.
But it doesn't matter. Like, you're talking about 43 years of conditioning.
Yeah, no, I get that.
So it doesn't go
I
away
don't
overnight.
Do well in silence. So silence.
Why? That's ridiculous, Jill. Why don't you do well in silence? Why can't you just be quiet?
Yes, yeah.
Why?
Because it's just the way that I grew up. If there was bouts of silence, it meant you did something wrong.
Yeah. Do you understand how ridiculous that is? people in glass houses should not throw stones.
I bring that up because I'm trying to show different sides of it.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, we're totally fighting after this podcast.
No, we're not.
Everyone's going to be like, are you guys okay?
Yeah, well, we're okay. Yeah. People DM us, are you okay? Is there going to be another episode after this?
No, they're shutting down the home studio. They're getting rid of their dog, and I'm not so sure they're okay. But no, I get that. I get that. And like for me, like you said, my morning routines, there will be like certain times where because of schedules, we'll be working out together. And I am the type when I come up for my workout, like my phone, the only reason I'm touching it is to look and see what my workout is.
Yeah.
Other than that, like I'm not texting. It's on do not disturb, like I'm not paying attention to any of it. Whereas Mike will be working out and he's like taking down notes, thoughts he's coming up with and stuff. But in my head, I'm like, why is he like texting everyone under the sun? Like this right. is his workout time. He should like be alone and I've just like, one, that's not what he's doing. And two, I've come to the conclusion we just shouldn't work out together.
Right, right.
Because I need to mind my own business sometimes. Mm,
say that. That's going to be a real.
All right, so third reason, cognitive biases.
Yes, so I was just talking about this on Sunday. Cognitive bias is when you interpret everything based on a pre-existing belief.
Yes.
Right? So actually, let's just piggyback on that. You had a cognitive bias that every time I pick up my phone, it's because I'm going to text someone.
Yeah.
Right? So a lesson that we could learn from that is that, like, let's not have a cognitive bias. Your beliefs, when you have a fixed belief, you interpreted everything and sometimes negatively based on that fixed belief.
Mm-hmm.
And that could lead you to being more annoyed than you actually should be.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a cognitive bias.
Yeah. It's too real. There was a time in our life where Mike would sleep a lot later than I would. And because of my past relationship, my ex would sleep like all day at times and it would drive me crazy.
Mm.
So, and maybe this isn't accurate under this category, but so when I would see you sleep later on a day, I would get, and I hate this word, but I would get triggered.
Trigger.
Like, here we go. This is like Groundhog Day. And mm-hmm. I would get like mad at him.
Right.
And I've worked through that a lot. You wake up earlier, number one. And number two, on the days that you don't, like, I feel like I've found a lot of clarity in that area. It doesn't really bother me anymore. But that was like a cognitive bias that I had. Like, just because he's doing this, he's exactly like him. And it's like, right. No, not even close.
Right,
but.
Right. And it's bad when a cognitive bias is a result of trauma, right?
Yeah.
Or some kind of a negative experience or event that you experience. And if you look for it, you find it, y'all. That's basically what mm-hmm. cognitive bias is, just a fancy way to say, if you look for it, you find it. Again, you could walk into the cleanest room in your house with a white glove and you will find dirt.
Yes.
Why? Because you're looking for it.
Yes.
And so if in your relationships, if the person's annoying you, there's something about like there's a snowball effect of annoyances. Like once one thing annoys you, then everything annoys you, right?
Yes.
So you need to kind of stop that train and get rid of the cognitive bias and start looking for the good, you know? I've been telling a lot of people about like a gratitude journal, especially when you're married and you have a spouse, like to start, like if it's getting to the point where that person is getting on your nerves, you kind of forgot why you fell in love with that person in the first place.
Yeah.
And I think people don't fall out of love. They fall out of humility.
Mm.
Right. That person didn't really change that much. Most of the time, sometimes they do change dramatically.
Yeah.
And they kind of catfish you, you know, in the beginning, but most of the time they didn't change that dramatically. Like you fell out of humility. You didn't fall out of love. You fell out of humility and you forgot why you love this person so much.
So do you write about me in your gratitude journal?
Yeah, I do actually.
Yeah. What do you say?
Yeah, actually the day that we were talking about where, I was kind of irritated about, the day after when I was irritated that you wanted me to go with you to suit shopping, I was just like, I wrote down that, I'm very grateful that I have a wife that actually wants me to be around her.
Aw, that's cute.
Yeah.
And then you cleaned the house while I was gone the next day. I was like, we're back in business.
That's foreplay.
I came in the kitchen. I looked at him. I was like, I see what you're doing and it's working.
Sorry, Mom.
Okay. And we kind of touched on this, number four, personality differences.
Yeah. Sometimes it is just a personality difference.
We are very similar in a lot of ways, but we are very different in a lot of other ways. Like, yes. For example, you already mentioned Mike's very much an internal processor and I just need to word vomit when I'm processing something. And that causes issues with us sometimes. Cause I'm like, what's going on? What are you doing? Da-da-da. Like, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? He's like, I'm processing. And then I'm like, well, what are you processing? Let's talk about it. Like, just. And when I'm processing the way I am, it's hard for you sometimes because you think that I'm declaring things and I'm not. I'm just unleashing every thought running through my head and I'm not making any decisions at the time.
Yeah.
So that's definitely one area where we're very different.
Very different. And sometimes you just have to call it what it is. Like, stop labeling it as, like, in your head, stop saying that person's annoying. Just say it's just a difference of personality.
Yeah.
And if you learn to celebrate that rather than be annoyed by that,
yeah,
it'll help you out to be less annoyed. None of this is a perfect formula to get rid of all annoyances, but I think just the awareness of this is just a personality difference.
Yeah. I think the awareness and actually just talking about it. Like, right. Yo, when you do this, it kind of annoys me.
Right.
And it's something that, like, obviously, I love Mike. I don't want to be annoying. Sometimes I want to be annoying because I'm petty, but I don't want to be annoying. And like sometimes it's stuff that you do that you're not even aware of.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, I don't want to do that. But I think communication and awareness is huge when it comes to stuff like this.
Yeah.
Number five, stress and emotional state. So when I am tired or when I am stressed out, everything gets on my nerves.
Everything, yeah.
Literally everything. I'm like, you're breathing funky. Why did you look at me like that?
Yeah.
Mike, I don't know that this is an emotional state. Mike hates how I eat apples. So sometimes when I'm being petty, I'll purposely eat an apple like right next to him and I'll try to eat it as loudly as possible and he gets mad and I'm like, but it's crunchy. What am I supposed to do? My mouth is closed.
It's not the crunchiness. It's the like, the chomping into it and then the smacking of the teeth. And it's just like, I can't be around you or Hunter.
You act like I'm like a Neanderthal.
Not a Neanderthal. It's just, I don't know what it is. It's just like, but you say when you're tired, when I'm hungry.
Yes. Everything's irrational.
Annoying. Right.
Yeah.
And you have to own your stress and emotional state rather than just stating that person's being annoying.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So just own it right off the bat.
Yeah, sometimes that person's not annoying. Sometimes you're just like being a jerk.
Yeah, sometimes the person's annoying and sometimes you're just irritable.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's a result of just to own your stress levels, own your emotional state, and that helps you with annoyances.
Yeah. And the last one, unmet needs.
Yeah.
So I feel like this kind of plays into the expectation things. Like you're not communicating expectations. You're also not communicating needs.
Yeah.
Do you want to jump into that one?
Yeah, I think it's different, a little different than unmet expectations because I could expect something from you. Like I could expect you to show up.
Be careful
up.
Here.
No, I can expect you to show up on time to a meeting, right?
Yes, yeah.
That's different than like when I have a need of one of my love languages is physical touch, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's a need of mine. So more than an expectation, like I need that to feel loved, mm-hmm. right? That's how I feel loved. I feel mm-hmm. loved with words of affirmation, right? So when that need is not met, mm-hmm. my tank is empty.
Yeah.
And when my tank is empty, similar to being hungry, then I tend to be a little more irritable, mm. right? Then I think what the unmet needs, what that does is it unlocks all the other ones. So then like I if I have an unmet need, now I'm latching on to my cognitive bias. Now I'm latching on to my stress. Now I'm latching on to my expectations because all of those things, the volume gets turned up because there's a major need, not a yes. want, there's a need yeah, in my yeah, life yeah. that's being unmet by the other person. And then that just, when I'm empty, I hate the world.
Now, for everyone listening, you say that's not a want, that's a need. How can you distinguish between the two?
Like, you know, I could sit there and I could say, I want, you know, I want to go on vacation. I want to go out.
I mean,
out
sometimes
on a...
I need to go on vacation.
right. But a need is something that, like, my soul feels malnourished without it, mm-hmm. right? There are things that you could do without.
Yeah.
That goes under the wants. But, like, when an actual need is met, like, okay, I don't feel understood and I can't feel loved until I feel understood, or I don't feel like you're physically attracted to me. Like, that's a need in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So that's how I distinguish the difference between a need and a want.
And so would you say a need is something that's usually communicated, like in the beginning of a relationship or during the course?
It should be. It's not always.
Yeah. Do you run into that a lot, like as you counsel like married couples or premarital counseling for people? Like, do you help them navigate that? And what are common needs that I'm just like, I'm throwing questions out to you. This isn't even on our little notes here. But what are common needs that you see people overlook in relationships?
As corny as people might find it, I do believe that the five love languages are pretty accurate. I think they're pretty basic needs in a marriage. And so mm-hmm. so to never graduate from learning your spouse or learning, you know, your partner, to learn that, A, learn what their love language is, and B, as you continue to grow, your love languages sometimes change.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why you can't graduate from like in the beginning of our marriage, yours were words of affirmation and acts of service.
Yes.
But there's certain seasons.
There was a season where I came to you and I was like, I need physical touch.
Yeah.
And then there was, I think a couple months ago I came to you, I was like, I'm all of them. I'm just give me all of them.
Needy as heck. Boy.
Yeah. But I also communicate that to you too. Right, like your spouse can't be your mind reader.
Right.
Or your partner or whatever your situation is.
Yeah. I think, so I think the love languages are basic thing that you should understand mm-hmm. going into the relationship. I also think things like respect mm-hmm. is important.
Yeah.
There's a difference sometimes between sexes and genders. Like it's really difficult for most of the time. It's really difficult for a man to feel love until they're respected.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding respect, understanding, mm-hmm. understanding. I do a lot of work helping each other. How do you serve your spouse or your loved one when they're angry?
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
So I have them write a write up basically. Like, what do you do? What do you need when you're in your red zone? I call it the red zone. What do you mm-hmm. need when you're in the red zone? Right. So, example for you and I, like, I need like a solid leave me alone for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Chasing me, making me talk in my red zone mm-hmm. is just dumb.
Yeah.
Right. So don't do that. So to be clear with that, or some of the basic things that if you don't cover. Life by default doesn't cover that for you.
Yeah.
It's not intuitive. You know what I mean? Like you have to actually talk that through. So I help couples talk those things through. And then I ask them for a thorough list of expectations of one another. And I think that's very helpful because you're going to have unvoiced expectations, but what would it look like from the get? You had somebody coach you through, let's be exhaustive with it. Like, Yours is like, you expect to never throw out the trash.
Yeah.
Right?
With an expectation in our relationship. Whoever cooks dinner, the other person cleans it up.
Yeah.
It's just, if it's me, Mike cleans. If it's Mike, I clean.
Right.
It's just something we established from the get. Yeah, I don't expect to take the trash out. I don't do bathrooms. I don't.
You don't?
Nope.
No.
Never.
Yeah.
So, but simple things like that, because as you're sitting there scrubbing the toilet and you're pissed off at your significant other, like, this is not an expectation of mine to do. But if you don't communicate, you can't be mad.
Right. Right. So those are the kind of things I cover on premarital counseling that I think help set you up for less annoying moments.
Yeah.
In your marriage. And I think when you get annoyed, can you trace it back to any of those six things?
Yeah.
And own that first.
Yeah.
Before just blaming it on somebody else.
Yeah. And I think, like we said earlier, with anything, communicate. You don't have to be in premarital counseling to cover this. You can pause this weekend and be like, hey, I'm noticing that this is getting on my nerves. You know, we've never established our expectations in our marriage or our relationship. We've never done any of these things. Like, can we take some time and do it? Because I see that it'll be beneficial for us moving forward.
Yeah.
And it might remove a lot of issues for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, we hit the single thing last week, so we're hitting the couples this week. Hopefully you find this helpful. It's just our life imitating art. Is that, or is that the art imitating whatever?
It works both ways. Yeah.
I was getting on Mike's nerves. He was getting on my nerves. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. That's right.
So, all right, I'm going to wrap us up. That is Too Real with Mike and Jillian Rosato for this week. You can check us on YouTube. Check out our new studio space. Delaney is sleeping. She looks like she's dead. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts, pretty much all of your podcasting platforms. You can check us out on Instagram at Mike Rosato, at Jillian Rosato, on TikTok at Mike Rosato, at Jillian dot Rosato, underscore Rosato, something like that.
It's yours.
Whatever. And we will see you next Wednesday right here. Okay. Too Real.
Peace.
Bye.